All right, Cindy, thank you for agreeing to do this interview today.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
So, everyone, we're talking with Cindy Wigglesworth. Cindy and I have known each other quite a while. And Cindy is the president of an organization called Deep Change. But more importantly, she is the nurturer of a concept called spiritual intelligence. And Cindy's going to be talking about that today. So thank you, Cindy. Appreciate you very much being able to do this. And thank you for being part of our online collaborative.
My pleasure. I'm a big fan of ILEA.
You're good.
Yeah. And Integral Leadership Review, of course.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy, I wanted to ask you, what are your current interests? What's got you excited now?
Well, the newer stuff that I'm playing with, in addition to spiritual intelligence, which is a steadfast love, so that's ongoing research and work with that, is a broader concept I've been talking about in the last few years of deep intelligence. And when I talk about deep intelligence, I'm talking about applying the most important intelligences that we have for our leadership success. And in my experience with my clients, what I have found over the years is that I focus primarily on IQ, EQ, SQ, and PQ. So that would be cognitive intelligence, emotional intelligence, spiritual intelligence, and then increasingly on physical intelligence. So it's finding the right ratio of those four intelligences to help the person fulfill what they feel their purpose is in the context that they're in.
See, so in very, very many ways, this connects with the concept of integral leadership. How do you connect the two?
I'm, of course, a huge fan of integral theory, and I use the five things you've got to know to understand human beings in my head as a sort of constant diagnostic that's running in the background. So I'm always thinking about states, stages, lines, types, and quadrants, and sort of diagnosing a situation based on what are the most relevant pieces of these five things in this situation for me to find the right leverage point with people. So sometimes the leverage point is in the lower quadrants, and it's cultural and contextual. But a lot of the time what I'm called in to do will have a large or even primary piece will be around the multiple intelligences. So folks who are developmentally, you know, may or may not quite be fit for their job. They may need to sort of crank it up to a half a stage higher or whatever, or they may need horizontal development in the stage of development they're at. Either way, I can apply these multiple intelligences to assisting them, either in horizontal growth or if they're ready and at the tipping point for the next move up to help them make that move.
That's fascinating, Cindy. What kind of things do you do to help an individual develop these multiple intelligences?
One of the biggest traps I think people fall into as humans as a species is we believe what we think.
Mm.
And so helping people develop the ability to step back and observe their thought process, notice that what they're thinking about, they're telling a story about what the facts of a situation mean. They're often making up additional facts to fill in, and then believing that story and creating their emotional upset from that story, which is not allowing them to be compassionate, wise, or peaceful, which are the spiritual intelligence skills. It's harming their relationship skills, which are the EQ skills, and it's short-circuiting their ability to make good choices at a cognitive level. They can even override basic neocortical function that they would normally have because they get themselves into amygdala hijacks and they literally lose capacity. They lose IQ points. So helping people self-reflect, self-observe, and back down the ladder of inference, to use that kind of language, to what are the facts and what are multiple possible interpretations, and then reframing situations. Reframing, of course, is a powerful psychological tool. It's very helpful from an emotional intelligence standpoint, but I've been amazed how powerful it is for spiritual intelligence and also how useful it is for coming up with better solutions. It's an IQ amplifier as well. And so what I'm finding is that these lines of intelligence, while they're really useful to separate them, to think about the competencies and to think about, you know, where are the gaps with people, the interventions are usually not that clear. These intelligences are interlinking and interconnected and interpenetrating, and when you mess up on one, you tend to mess several up. And so this technique of backing down the ladder of inference, really thinking about what stuff means, and coming at things with higher level of complexity is really a powerful skill set, and one that you can apply at the diplomat level, Amber in Integral Speak, at Orange, at Green, at Teal and above. It's a powerful skill set. It's really elegant in its ability to be fit for purpose for horizontal, vertical, across multiple stages.
Cindy, it's absolutely wonderful and encouraging to hear you say that you're able to bring this rather sophisticated way of working with clients who have some developmental need. You're able to do it, you know, no matter where they are developmentally. You can actually help them get to, you know, the next level, so to speak, no matter what level they currently are operating.
Right, assuming they're willing, of course, you know, and generally life has presented them with some problem or I wouldn't have been called in. So either their boss has told them that something they're doing is not working or they have discovered for themselves that something is not working. But if there's a felt need for change and a little bit of openness, then this ability to teach people to reflect and to consider again what things might mean, it's just really, it's simple and it's beautiful and it never ends because it's a practice I have to use every day. So I don't think we're ever done.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that, Cindy. You know, Cindy, because you were very much at the forefront of this idea called spiritual intelligence, what have you noticed over the past several years about people's openness to the concept of spiritual intelligence?
When I first started looking at this domain 15 years or so ago, there was pretty much nothing out there that was talking about spiritual intelligence or even legitimizing the conversation of spirituality having any relevance in a career. And I would say that has just dramatically changed. I've been in self-employment now for about 11 years, and what used to be a really awkward conversation to have when I first started trying to have it has become a fairly easy conversation to have. People are seeking ways to find something more, like what else is there? And I think the recession's actually helped because the sense that the promotions are always going to be there and the money's always going to be there and, you know, swimming pools and BMWs and whatever it is, there's this sense of I have to find something else to attach my definition of success to. And I can't count on my business to make me happy, and I can't count on things I used to think about as making me happy. So there's a philosophical, more self-reflective aspect to individuals that I'm seeing. And then I'm also seeing this beautiful maturation in the workplace from a cultural organizational standpoint manifesting in multiple forms, including the conscious capitalism events, which you're also familiar with.
Wow. What do you think is accounting for that, Cindy? What's your perspective?
You know, I think the recession has helped. Actually, sometimes a 2x4 up the side of the head is just exactly what we need. But
sure.
I think it's also, you know, evolution has its own pressure and its own intelligence, and it's not that any one of us can really take credit for this transformation as much as life conditions seem to be pulling it forward and demanding it from us. So maturity-wise, you know, the United States seems to be ready to finally take some steps forward. We regressed after September 11th, spiral dynamic-wise, kind of pulled back to blue and red. We seem to be stepping forward again into orange and green. You know, Europe seems to be stepping forward. The evolutionary pressure, the intelligence of the universe seems to be bringing us to what is next for us. And I think a piece of what is next for us is this spiritual intelligence set of skills, which previously we've not really known how to talk about. We've muddled it up with religion, and we've muddled it up with, you know, trying to put God in a box. You can't talk about skills because these aren't skills. And I think with perseverance, and of course you helped me with some of my research, we've been able to describe skills. So we're not talking about spirit, capital S, or God being measured. We're talking about the human capacity to embody compassion, wisdom, and peace in our behaviors. just like when we talk about emotional intelligence, we're looking at how aware are you of your emotions and do you have empathy with others and can you relate to other people effectively. With spiritual intelligence, we're looking at how well can you hear your higher self, how well can you act from your higher self, and as a result, what kind of a leader are you going to be?
Wow.
So I think it's just evolution ultimately is the final answer.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, when I think about the current impasse that's happening in Congress, in the U.S. Congress, I think about how access to higher self would be a wonderful thing to see a great deal more of within that context.
Wouldn't that be brilliant? Oh, my word.
Well, then I'm going to shift gears just a little bit here and have you talk about, we've got this online collaborative that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have a bunch of folk conference attendees being part of listening to your keynote and be part of a roundtable conversation that you'll help to facilitate. What kind of things are you hoping to share with the conference attendees?
Well, what I'm hoping to share, first of all, is what is spiritual intelligence, a little bit of background on that, because I don't think previous to the work that you've assisted me with that there's been a good definition of that. And then I'd like to embed it in the larger context of deep intelligence and how do we help our clients and help ourselves by looking across these lines of intelligence to see where's the leverage point for me right now. You can't work on everything simultaneously, but we can find, sort of by learning to think diagnostically about these multiple intelligences, what's my weak place right now that I might want to fill in a gap, or where's a strength I really haven't deployed yet. And to use a simple example, I'm finding an increasing number of executives who are sleep-deprived and exhausted. That exhaustion is causing them to make dumb decisions, to have more interpersonal conflicts, and to certainly not be able to have the expanded, wise, and peaceful place of SQ. So the simple question might be, you know, what are you going to do to fix your sleep patterns? What do you think is going on here? And, you know, for many people, it's a bad habit that we get into where we caffeinate too much in the morning and then we drink in the evening, and neither one of those is conducive to getting your biorhythms worked out. For some people, it's a hormone problem. For other people, it's blood sugar issues. But kind of helping people think through, being a leader is a form of being an athlete. So what are you doing to take care of the parts of you that this athletic endeavor called leadership requires?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the whole, and sometimes it is, then fixing that creates, you know, 80% of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of the Pareto principle, right? You know, 80% of the problems come from 20% of the process. So find the 20% of the process that's not working quite right and work on that.
Absolutely. Well, Cindy, this online collaborative is a little bit unique. You know, we'll be doing a lot of deep conversation with one another in an online format.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an experiment for us. Do you hold any hopes for this particular process?
Well, I do, because we've got really sharp people that are attracted to this conversation. And what I like about the collaborative approach is that it's not unidirectional. So it's not just, you know, speakers speaking and people listening, and then that's it, you know. The way you guys are approaching this, of designing it to have interactive components, I think is really important, because the collective intelligence of the community that shows up for these events is impressive. And we would be, I don't know, just missing the boat if we didn't tap some of that, you know, beauty and brilliance and poetry and wisdom that's in the community. So I'm excited. I always learn a lot when I attend these kind of events from everybody else's questions and comments and, you know, just their sheer energy. It's very hope-giving to me when a group of really cool people show up who are all sort of an evolutionary integral mindset. And it's like, you know, this world, we may actually make it.
Right. You know, yeah. If we keep that collaborative spirit alive, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Cindy, thank you so much. This has been Michael McElhenney, deeply honored to be speaking with my friend Cindy Wigglesworth. So thank you, Cindy. Appreciate you becoming a keynote for us and a facilitator in the upcoming Integral Leadership Collaborative. Thank you.
I'm looking forward to it.